Beach easy.
Hey, mamas. Welcome to another episode of I Speak Mama, the show where we talk about the joys and the downs of mamahood. Grab your favorite beverage, give your kids the iPad, and take a break, because this episode, we're talking all about parent reality versus expectations. I'm Jen, Colton and Nolan's mom.
I'm Shannon, Gabriel and Grayson's mom. This is a huge topic.
Yeah.
Because the reality versus expectations or vice versa. Yeah, if we could have wrote that book.
Picture motherhood differently in your head.
You do.
And even, you know, some of the things that I thought were going to take up a lot of my life when it came to parenthood play a small portion, but then things that I never even thought about are in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
You know?
Number one, the amount of time that we used to have before kids. I always thought I never had that much time.
Yes.
And now I'm like, what did I do with all that time?
Time and money.
Like, right? Yeah.
It's money, crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You always thought, oh, yeah, oh, no, I can't work out, or no, I can't go to this event or happy hour, whatever it may be, because, yeah, I'm working, I got to do this and that. But when it comes to the kids, you get them to every single youth, whether it be sports or extracurricular activities, you make it to the grocery store, it's crazy.
Somehow it all fits in.
It all does.
Works,
it does.
It's just, you know, you thought at the beginning that, I don't know, you just envision perfectness, and it's never that. It's great.
It's perfect
in its own way. Parenthood is just...
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful milestone in your life if you have the opportunity to be, or if that's something that you want.
Correct.
I know that there are many people who don't want that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're amazing aunts and uncles or whatever it may be. But I have a few friends that are younger right now that they're wanting to start a family possibly, and they're just so worried about the finance portion. You'll never be financially stable enough. There's never enough money in the world, but somehow or another, you always figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
So just remember that.
Exactly. Yes.
So when it comes to parenthood and all of that, what was one thing when it came to just childbirth? I know we've had our childbirth stories, but is there anything that you can remember or even think of that what you thought, oh, this is going to be the perfect, that really wasn't?
So in thinking about that, you know, I thought that the actual time during childbirth would, you know, I would remember every second of it, and I would be able to tell the joys and the highs and lows of, like, there was like hours of time that either I was sleeping or doing other things that, like, I don't really remember. I just remember, like, arriving to the hospital room, getting set up, maybe a couple of situations along the way, and then, like, the actual birthing process.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for most people, it's 24 to 48 hours of, you know, just boredom, kind of.
Yeah, prepare.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, walking
You're
around.
Just there. Right. You know, whether it's watching TV or, I mean, I slept through a good portion of being in the hospital for childbirth.
Wow.
Yeah. And I guess I never didn't expect that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things is I wasn't prepared for how nervous I was going to be.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything will ever prepare you for that.
No, I mean, you are bringing into the world a human being.
Right.
That's just insane. And,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's no, like, there's no test. There's no exam. There's no, like, you pass or fail. You just bring in this human being.
One of the other things I found interesting about the actual experience of being in the hospital for childbirth is it was really, I don't know how to say this, but, like, everything else in the world doesn't matter. Like, it's only about what's happening
right then and there.
You almost feel isolated, but, like, in the best way possible. Like, it's a place to really prepare you and your partner for what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the birth of Nolan specifically, like, I hate to say it, but, like, I almost forgot about Colton. Like, I knew he was taken care of, but I didn't have to focus on him for that amount of time, because at that point, the only thing that mattered was making sure that Nolan came out healthy and happy.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, like, the world is passing by during that time, but, like,
But everything stays
everything
still.
Is so focused on that moment. And I really liked that experience. I like being, you know, having my goal and energy focused to one thing and one thing only. I don't know. I really enjoy the experience of childbirth. I know it's probably not the reality for most people.
Yeah.
And it can be really scary, but I liked it. I really like the whole process. I really liked.
And of course, mine was a complete opposite mm-hmm. of yours with the C-section. I never in my wildest dreams would have thought I'd have to have a C-section. I wasn't even given the opportunity to even try to go into labor just because of, if you see Gabriel even now, you mm-hmm. will see he's always been a huge child. So for me, it was, okay, here's your date. I got to pick the date. Mm-hmm. I got to pick the time. You know, so it was a little bit nerve-wracking just because I knew everything that was taking place. But for me, I'm a very structured routine. Like, I like to know the plan, mm-hmm. everything. So for me, it was actually, that was wonderful. I knew that he was going to be born on August the 29th. Mm-hmm. I may have not known the full time, but I knew it was going to be in the morning time.
Right.
You know, so it was like you had all your ducks in a row for Gabriel. Grayson, on the other hand, Grayson is Grayson. He is that true wild child, second mm-hmm. child, redhead. I had my C-section scheduled for him. He decided that's not happening. My water broke and very early in the morning and Barrett out of town, you know, so that didn't help with the whole situation. Gabriel is only 17 months at the time. Mm-hmm. And here I am. I'm like, oh, crap. I also had two dogs. So I called my mom. I'm like, Nana, I need you to get to the house. We're going to daycare, dropping Gabriel off, and then we're going on to the hospital. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I did not let my mom drive, even though my water was breaking. But I was scared to death when it was the birth of Grayson mm-hmm. because I had such a terrible, I don't even know, just the nightmares from Gabriel because mm-hmm. my C-section, it was a bigger incision than most C-sections, and I couldn't walk correctly for mm-hmm. almost 6 months.
You had trauma.
I had trauma. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just detrimental. Like, it was just scarred.
Like PTSD.
Yeah. And I honestly, when I found out that I was pregnant with Grayson, that scar came right back. And it just, throughout the entire pregnancy of Grayson, I kept stressing about the C-section part because mm-hmm. I knew that my doctor wouldn't allow me to even try for mm-hmm. natural labor just because of already having a C-section. So for me, I had to put on the mindset of, okay, you got to get it done. Just mm-hmm. got to do it. Let's just get it done. So it was probably a great thing for my situation with Grayson coming early.
Yeah.
It wasn't at plan to what it was supposed to be because I didn't have any time to think.
Mm-hmm.
I barely even had a bag packed. Mm-hmm. Barrett wasn't even in town. So it actually, for my sake, worked out
right.
probably better just because I do like a plan, and the mm-hmm. plan was completely broken.
And was that recovery as...
The recovery for Grayson was a lot better. I think, one, because my body had already experienced it.
Yeah.
And then my incision was even bigger with Grayson, but they had to fix a few things because of the first incision, mm-hmm. because of Gabriel just being so big.
Yeah.
And Gabriel was... They took him almost 3 weeks early, and he was still a huge baby. So, you know, he's...
Yeah. He's healthy and happy.
Healthy
now,
and happy.
So that's all that matters.
So, but mm-hmm. I am with you on the point of when Grayson was being born, Gabriel was not top of mind because I knew that he was okay. Mm-hmm. He was at daycare. He was with all the teachers that mm-hmm. I know that love him very mm-hmm. much, who would take care of him no matter what. I also knew that my mom came with me, and then right after Barrett finally got there, my mom then went and got mm-hmm. Gabriel. So I knew he was taken care of. So I'm with you on that, and we're blessed to be able to have
right.
the, you know, our, the grandparents to be able to mm-hmm. know that our other yeah. children are okay.
Yeah.
So
one of the things, and I don't know if this comes with a C-section and you can tell me, but like I was shocked at after delivery, like my body was shaking
mm-hmm.
and
Lewis freezing.
Kept, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lewis kept asking me like, are you cold? Are you cold? And I was like, not really. And the doctor was like, you've literally been through trauma.
Trauma. Yeah.
Your body is just adjusting to this trauma. So I didn't expect that in my wildest dreams.
Yeah.
I guess that's something that, like,
I think that's
don't think
all
about
pregnancy
yeah.
mm-hmm. and childbirth. Mm-hmm. Did they put like hot blankets and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing is childbirth and having a baby. It's it can be scary and mm-hmm. it's dangerous.
It really is.
Even in today's age and, you know, time
with
and
all the doctors
absolutely.
And all and the medical experts.
To see how seriously they take every measure, mm-hmm. You know, that put a little scare in me as well. You know, there was with Colton, there was a point where I had had my epidural and his heart rate started to go down a little bit. And they weren't super panicked, but there was one point where the nurse called in for backup for quite a few other people to come in. And it was just one of those like, okay.
What's going on?
What's happening?
Especially right. with Colton, their first child.
Right, first one. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they don't take any of that stuff lightly.
No, they don't.
By any means. But they do a good job of, okay, there's no need to panic. And literally, I just needed to be readjusted. And,
yeah.
you know, he needed to kind of move around a little bit and everything was fine. But there was that moment of, okay, why are all these people rushing into
yeah.
the room right now?
Well, and another thing too, and I don't know if this is the same thing. So for a C-section, as soon as you give birth and they sew you back up, you go to a recovery room. Mm-hmm. You do not get to hold the baby. The only touching that they do is they will put the baby against your cheek. Mm-hmm. So for like almost 3 hours, I'm in a recovery room and I'm like, okay, I gave birth to this child. I can't even hold it. I can't right. even see it. What's going on? Were you able to hold your child
yes.
right after giving
yes.
birth?
Yeah.
That was one thing I just didn't anticipate.
To the moment of, I mean, still attached to the umbilical cord and everything.
Yeah.
They're cleaning up the process
yeah,
down
yeah,
below.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know, you do get to have that experience of being the first.
The bonding.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you that know, was something I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that would be traumatic. But what was that experience like with the first time that they did bring?
So I didn't know what to expect. So actually with Gabriel during the process, I had a terrible asthma attack because with a C-section, they do have to, you're like almost pinned down to the table. Mm-hmm. Like they have your arms like in the, not a straight jacket, but you know, just strapped
yeah.
down and everything. So you can't move because it's such a intense process. I mean, you're cutting open. So I ended up having a really bad asthma attack, panic attack. And so they were trying to get me under, you know, taking care of that. They're
yeah.
having to give me oxygen at the same time because they didn't anticipate that to take place. And of course, then when Gabriel was born, you know, it was a couple seconds, okay, and then he starts crying. So, okay, everything's good. Barrett doesn't, you know, this was our first child. So he's kind of like,
right.
oh my goodness. I give Barrett credit because he did not hold Gabriel. Mm-hmm. Right when he was born, because he didn't want to take that away from me. He was, mm-hmm. you know, he said, you know, your mom, you need to be able to hold him first. Now, Grayson, on the other hand, they played music for me because they mm-hmm. knew that I had a terrible experience the first
okay.
time. So they played, I think it was Luke Bryan, if I'm not mistaken. It was just country music of some
yeah.
sort. And then, and luckily with that, I told Barrett, I said, Barrett, this is, not only is it our second child, but this is our child. Like,
right.
I'd rather you be the first person to hold him versus the nurses.
Right, right.
So Barrett did get to hold Grayson right after
yeah.
that and held him for a while before I was out of recovery. So, mm-hmm. but one thing I will say, all of you out there, those first pictures, make sure if you use your phone that you download them and save them, because Barrett's phone broke right afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have any of the pictures saved of Grayson right after birth.
Yeah.
So that was something I'm like, oh, my goodness. You just don't think about that kind of stuff right
mm-hmm.
in the moment. And, you know, Barrett was doing everything he could to try to get pictures. And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Once again, it's the second child. It seems like we always talk about, like, the baby pictures
yeah.
to the baby book to everything
right.
else. And,
right.
of course, it happened to the second child. So, but now, one thing, though, the expectations of being a parent. There's no handbook. There's no nothing.
Yes.
You're just giving the baby an okay.
Yep, out the door.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Yeah. I mean, the ride home is the very first ride home.
Was the scariest thing in the world.
The most stressful thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
from start to finish, I was white knuckling, you know.
Everything. Yes.
Did you sit in the back or the front?
I had to sit in the front because they had to actually help me into the car because that was when we had our Armada. And I, like I said, I could barely walk still.
Yeah.
So they had to help lift me and put me into the
mm-hmm.
car. But that was – or did I sit – I know I had to sit in the front.
Yeah. I sat in the front on both.
Yeah.
Both, but super stressed the whole time on the ride home.
When then when we got home, within maybe an hour, Barrett had to go to the store to get whatever the medication that I needed. Mm-hmm. Our car broke down.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, I get, yeah. So that was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can still remember to this day the turkey sandwich that I had on the, like, the first meal home.
Yeah.
And you know, we got home at, like, in at mid-afternoon or whatever. And after Colton was born, and my parents had been at our house, and Sue, my mother-in-law, was there as well. And I think my dad went to the store and got, like, deli meat and lunch meat and all that. And, like, my mom just made the most perfect turkey sandwich, and it tasted so good.
Yeah, like, because you couldn't eat anything for so long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I certainly had, like, meals afterwards with that, but there was just something about, like, being home with that turkey sandwich, and, like, this new being was there, home with us. And, you know, there at that point, there's no doctor's help on that side of things.
We didn't know, like, okay, do we put it in the crib? Do we put, like, and I say it because, like, that's how we were looking at each other. We're like, okay, we are first-time parents, you know. I mean, I babysat a long, long time ago. And Barrett, of course, we have nephews, so he had changed their diapers a few times. But we're like, what do we do? Okay, you take this shift. I'll take this shift.
Right.
And I was still not able to walk well, so I could not get into our bed because our bed was too high. Yeah. So I had to sleep in the guest bed because that was at least a little bit lower. So it was just like, you know, the trickle effect to everything.
Right.
And, but I'm like, okay, we got to keep the kid alive. Like, what do we got to feed it? We got, like, it's like you go into that panic mode almost. Like, oh my goodness, are we feeding it enough times?
Yes.
Did I change his diaper? Mm-hmm. Are these clothes okay? Like, it was just all those many things. Mm-hmm. And then now you look back, and I don't know about you, but I do wish I would have documented more things. But you forget all of those little things because it's just such an overall wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. Now I look at my kids and I'm just like, you guys look like adults almost now. And I can't believe that, you know, one will be 10 here soon. My oldest will be 10. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So time is just flying by. And that was one thing that I really did not expect.
It's how quickly it would all
How quickly it goes by. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'll hear a radio or a song in the car, and I'm like, oh my goodness, start crying just because the fact you just think about certain things, and it's like, it's so true.
What's that one song? I forget who sings it, but You're Gonna Miss This.
Yes.
I cannot listen to that song without crying.
Me either. Darius Rucker.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh.
I know. And it's the truth. And, you know, it's one of those things that I know everybody tells you, enjoy every moment. Really do.
Yeah.
But, you know.
What about, you know, kind of the infant stage of, you know, both of us went back to work fairly early on, I guess, expectation of, like, home work-life balance when they were infants and how you thought it was going to be like and what it wasn't.
I will tell you, my first day back with Gabriel, I was lost. I didn't feel like I fit in. I felt like I was an outcast. I was so just in my own, like, world of what do I do? Because I took 2 weeks straight off. Then I worked part-time from home for 4 weeks. And then for 2 more weeks, I was working more in the office, but my mom was helping me with Gabriel some, too. So I just didn't know my place anymore. Mm-hmm. I went through postpartum to a certain extent with Gabriel. And then Grayson, postpartum was just over the moon for me.
Okay.
I truly, it's like I almost lost myself because all I knew is I have to take care of these two babies, you know, because mine are 2 under 2. So I just didn't know, okay, what's Shannon's purpose? Not what mama, as in Shannon as mama, but what is my role? Mm-hmm. So I had to figure out true work-life balance to figure out what did I want and what did I want to be.
Yeah.
I knew my entire life I always wanted to be a wife and a mom, but now I have that. Now I got to figure out what are not the next steps, but how do I keep me from the kids taking complete control over me or just my, you know, existence in a sense.
Yeah.
So I was there were days that I would just like stare at the wall and just cry because I mm-hmm. just didn't know my place anymore.
Right.
And I don't know if that makes sense, and I can't really describe it that well. But
yes.
And they say, you know, postpartum is a thing. Well, let me tell you, it is a thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody experiences it different.
Absolutely.
I will say I had a lot of different, like, darker colors in my household, like your green and your burgundy and blue. Mm-hmm. I had to, like, get rid of a lot of that, and mm-hmm. I brought more of the beach colors, your Carolina blue, your yellows, your light greens, things like that. I needed, like, that kind of tone.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped tremendously. It's amazing how much of a – when you feel like you're in a safe haven, your mood and your personality, everything
and
changes.
When you did that, I'm assuming that you did that like when they were infants. So do you think that the physical act of changing those colors, like having to make the decisions and the actual like painting or removing furniture mm-hmm. or whatever, do you think that helped in the process?
I think it did.
Was just the colors and like
I think a lot just because I had to realize the old Shannon is gone, mm-hmm. but that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The new Shannon is she has true responsibilities. It's not just about mm-hmm. her anymore. It's about taking care of this family, but mm-hmm. also being successful, you know, within your job, within, you know, mm-hmm. that true work-life balance. Because if you don't have that, like, you're financially, you're not going to be able to support your family. And mm-hmm. mentally, you're not going to be able to. So it was like a whole refresh
mm-hmm.
to start over.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I mean, I know I've had I've been in the same you know, career path in a sense for many, many years, but it was like almost like a new job to me that I had to find that right place.
Yeah. You know, I think there is the belief that you're still you, mm-hmm. but you're not.
Yeah, you're not.
You become different.
Mm-hmm.
Some for the better, some for the worse, you know, some it's just equal and you're just slightly different, but I agree. Like you do lose. You know, as Taylor Swift said, can't come to the phone right now because the old Taylor's dead. Like, in a way,
it's the truth.
There's part of you that goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I think a lot of it of that is emotion, not just like the physical things you do day to day or like becoming a mom, like the jobs that you do. A lot of it is emotion.
Yeah. And us women, we are the most emotional people.
Yeah.
You know, and we take everything to heart.
Mm-hmm.
Barrett's always on me. Shannon, don't take so much to heart constantly. You don't. But that's just one of, you know, our personality traits mm-hmm. that most women, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and for us, we do feel as if we are to be the not the provider per se, but we do feel as if it's our responsibility to take care of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's that nurturing aspect, especially once you become a parent.
Mm-hmm. One of the things we're kind of going down the emotional line, but I struggled a lot with finding people who, and I don't know why, but I just assumed that like everyone would love your children as much as you love them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not the case.
No.
And that's okay. I mean, that's great. Like your children should be loved the most by you, right?
Without a doubt.
But, you know, even like my parents and Lewis's parents, like they love them differently mm-hmm. than the way that we love them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, friends, your friends love you
mm-hmm.
because you have made that relationship. Yes, they, you know, like your kids, they accept your kids, but they're not friends with your kids.
Yeah.
And
it's not an obligation for
correct.
Them.
Correct. Yes. Correct. Absolutely. And so that was a really hard reality to come mm-hmm. to. And by no means do I like am saying this in a negative way,
no.
but just the seeing the relationship. Like we have some friends that don't have kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to have the wife came to me and she was like, I just want you to know that like we love your kids, but like when we invite you over and we want your kids to come, but we're inviting you guys over, like, because we are friends with you.
Yeah.
And we want to, you know, we want that type of relationship with you guys. And, like, you know.
How do you feel about that? Because me, I would almost feel offended.
I wasn't offended. The way she approached it,
it was
very.
Okay, proper manner.
Yes. Like, and it wasn't like my kids were uninvited.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of just, like, know that when we hang out with you guys, like, we like you for who you are. Like, we don't like you because you are parents, or we don't like you because of, you know, who your kids are. Like, we really like you guys mm-hmm. as a couple, and we like the things that
the
you
adult
guys bring
time
to, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was like, you know, that's honesty, and yeah. I appreciate that. And like, so you know, when we go over to their house, we tend to try to find a babysitter, and that gives us some reprieve and some good alone time. Now, do I? If I was like, if they invited us over, I would be happy to bring the kids over, and they would be happy to have the kids
yeah.
over there. But you know, it was interesting that like. She sees it as we were friends with you first,
mm-hmm.
and we still like you as parents, but we want to continue our friendship with you as adults and not just yeah. as, you know, Colton and Nolan's parents.
See, and then that's a tough one because for us, we don't really have, I don't try to use, we've already talked about this, babysitters too much, mm-hmm. but I mean, I'm fortunate enough with my mom, but I also know that a big piece of mine and Barrett's relationship is our kids, mm-hmm. you know, and I love the opportunity to bring the kids to, you know, to functions or to outings and things. I understand there is a time and place sometimes, but I want my friends to see this is where, like, I shine right now because they're mm-hmm. such a, you know, a huge part of our life. I mean, yeah. they are our lives. I mean, overall. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, there are times that you do want to have just some separation. Mm-hmm. And you have probably definitely experienced this too. We have gone through different friends throughout our mm-hmm. relationship because there has been, you know, you first get married. Oh, yeah, it's fun. The honeymoon stage. We want to yeah. go hang out. Going to go to happy hour, whatever it may mm-hmm. be. Then when you have kids, financially, you don't have the money to be able to do mm-hmm. it too much. And then you're the time is very limited as yep. well. So you do, it's like that roller coaster effect that you kind of go in and out of different friendships. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like when I look back as to who was invited to our wedding, majority of them, we don't really hang out with as much as we do
same.
To this day.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. but I enjoy being around people who are similar like us and what they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. For me, it's great to be around other parents, mm-hmm. whether their kids are the boys' age or a little bit younger, a little bit older, but they understand and respect what you're going through. And sometimes it's just nice to be able to vent and talk about the ups and downs of everything.
I mean, that's the point of this podcast, right?
Right? Exactly. Because, I mean, you have to have that tribe.
Mm-hmm. You
can't do it alone.
Nope.
And mm-hmm. and I love my husband, but sometimes I just need to talk to a female.
Yep.
Because they don't, you know, they understand a little bit more of what we're going through mm-hmm. than what
yes.
the men do.
Yes.
So,
agreed.
Yeah. Well, we will say, okay, I know potty training was one of the topics.
Yes.
So was potty training a difficulty for you guys or was it easy?
Okay. So I'll be honest, Colton was pretty easy.
Okay.
I have a feeling that Nolan is going to be
hard,
very hard. you know, it did help that our preschool did what they call potty training boot camp, where mm-hmm. they, for 1 week before they move up to the next big class, all the kids have to be potty trained before they move up to like threes or whatever it is. I forget which one it is, but they remove all the rugs in the.
I forgot about
yeah.
this. Like,
they do,
oh, yeah,
they
do.
Remove all the rugs.
I thought it was the grossest thing in the world.
Yeah, like you have to bring a week's worth of clothes,
yeah.
essentially, and they just potty train the kids.
Yeah.
Now I'm hoping the new daycare does that. I doubt it's going to happen, but I didn't think potty training was all that difficult.
Okay.
Colton was also, I know that a lot of parents struggle with nighttime
yes.
weddings. Luckily, we have never really had many two issues with that.
That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. So
Gabriel's
I really have a feeling that Nolan will be that kid. Like
yeah.
I'm preparing for pull-ups for quite a long time. So
yeah.
especially the nighttime ones, you know?
Yeah.
Now from that aspect, you know, it just so far hasn't been too difficult. So
did y'all do any special training or, you get an M&M for every time you go to the bathroom?
We tried that for a little while. It just didn't catch. Honestly, like, we didn't really have a major method to our potty mm-hmm. training, and it worked out okay for us. We
yeah.
relied heavily on this potty boot camp. He was close to being all the way there by the time it happened, and then after it was over with, I don't know what magic they used, but
it worked.
Something worked. What was your expectation versus reality?
I love my Gabriel. But Gabriel, when he gets into something or he's watching a movie or if he's playing at this, he just forgets about things. And that was one of the things. He would just forget to go to the bathroom. Yeah. So it took us a while for Gabriel to potty train. I finally caved in. It's also mine and Barrett's fault because I say that. We had two kids 17 months apart. We're just playing, trying to survive at this moment in time. And I wasn't probably as good as I should have been on the, okay, at least by two, we're potty training right now. We were trying, but we were also, I had an infant. So it was a little bit different with that. But I caved in. I did that, the elf on a shelf.
Oh, yeah, that's
elf
right.
On the shelf. Well, needless to say is that somehow or another, we were able to finagle the elf. Said, you know, we're going to tell Santa, you know, if we are to potty train and we're good to go, you know, Santa's going to bring in an extra gift. Santa brought him an extra gift.
It worked.
Yes. You know, but everybody has their own methods. Gabriel probably would have gotten a little, he probably would have been better, one, if they weren't so close in age. And then two, honestly, if he would just not be so caught up in things. But I think that's any kid. Grayson was a little bit easier.
You think it helped that he saw his, kind of what his brother was going through?
Yeah, because Gabriel would actually cheer Grayson on. Oh. You know, it's like the first, like, poop, you know, Gabriel, yay, go bro, Like, it was, you know, it was like a big old, like, yeah. So I think that helped a lot. So, but expectations though, I thought, oh yeah, we'll just do like the Cheerios, you know, and let them aim or, you know, all those different things that people say to do.
Right.
It didn't work.
Yeah. Like that. I mean, I'm sure it probably works for some kids and it's out there for a reason, but I agree that didn't have any interest in our side of potty training. One thing that I will say, expectation versus reality, and I think we've talked about this before, but like I had no concept of how comfortable I would be with other people's bodily functions, like and how comfortable I am with just like, okay, yep, Nolan, you're peeing right there on the rug because I just took your diaper off because we're getting ready to take a bath, and all right, no big deal,
let me go and get the spray,
clean
it up, good to go. That is true. But now that they're older, I hate cleaning up. But you're right.
Have I ever told you the story about when we were on vacation and Colton was taking a nap and pooped in his diaper and it ended up all over the walls?
No.
He only did it one time. Ooh. We were on vacation at a rental property home. So apologize to where we were staying.
We won't say that. Never mind.
Nope. But yeah, it was nap time. We put him down. He was not interested in taking a nap whatsoever. He was hollering and screaming and, you know, doing all the things to fight it. And so we're big believers, both Lewis and I, of like, let him cry it
just
out.
Just cry it out,
and they will, you know.
Fall asleep.
Exactly. And we walked in about 45 minutes later or so, and he was still fussing, moving around. So we were like, all right, he's probably not going to take a nap at this point. We'll fight through. And there was poop all over the walls. He had literally like taken off his diaper, pulled his shorts down that he was wearing, taken off his diaper, and just like it was
like
paint
smeared
on
it.
A wall.
Oh my goodness!
Everywhere.
What did you do? What was your reaction? Did you laugh? Did you get mad?
Lewis and I were dying. Laughing.
I mean, I think I would have to laugh about that.
Laughing. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
For one, because it wasn't our walls, so we were like, "Oh, thank goodness." Now we did. We cleaned. Don't worry, guys. We didn't just leave it there, but we cleaned it up. Popped him in the bath, and, you know, it was, now it's a funny story to tell, but.
It is a funny story. Well, do your kids just go in the backyard and go pee?
So they don't do it in our backyard, but around Nana's pool, she has rocks. And Colton loves to pee on the rocks. Loves.
I'll catch the boys even to this day. Outside, letting the dogs out. We have a fenced-in yard. And they're peeing in the backyard.
Well, we had to go potty, so why not?
Really? Yeah. Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a fun time.
Yep.
So,
What were some of the other ones on there?
Participating in school functions.
Yeah. I mean, you have way more experience with this than I do.
Yeah.
But I will say, even just the level of, like, what some people give as, like, teacher's gifts or, like, that type of thing, I'm like, oh, man, it's too much.
I'm going to say right now, I'm not keeping up with the Joneses, but I will find out a little bit about the teacher and see what are their likes, and then I will bring them something, especially when it comes to the teachers now that they're in the public schools, and they make okay, but their teachers, like, deserve the world.
Absolutely.
So I always try to do something extra special, but I can't. I mean, I personally just, and financially, I just can't do some of that stuff. Then, and I'm also, I'm not trying to outdo, nor am I trying to pay you to love on my child. Like, I hope that, you know, my child respects you and vice versa, you respect them. But I do try to participate when it comes to the fundraising or, you know, the different outings, the field trips. I know you'll get to experience that here soon. The field trips are a blast, and I try to at least go on one a year. I wish I could do more, but I learned so much about the dynamics of the classroom going on those field trips.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The plays, all the music and the different, those theatrical stuff. I make sure that, you know, we try to, or we don't try. If the boys are in it, we're attending it. And if you need, if the music teachers need help or whatever it may be, I'm always trying to give where I can.
Yeah.
And I always want to know, and that was one of the reasons why I did PTA for a few years, is that I want to know who has my kids.
Right.
I want to know.
That was your way in.
That was my way in at that time. And even in daycare, I always made sure to speak to the administrative staff. How are you doing? How's your day going? You know, are you doing anything special for the weekend? That was my way of just getting to know them a little bit more. One, I want you to know who I am.
Right.
And two, I want to know about you, because if my kids are going to be around you way more than what they are at home, I need to know if they're in good hands or not. So school functions, I would 100% say if you are available to attend certain things or even donate once in a while, but those like the fun runs and stuff or the color runs, it's actually a blast. So
enjoy the experience.
Yeah, enjoy it. You know, some of the stuff that it's like, oh, here we go, another fundraiser or another spirit night, and we do try to attend those. You can't make them all, so don't try to. But it does help you connect better with your kids.
Right. It's more about the camaraderie than it is necessarily the actual efforts of raising funds. That's kind of the bonus side of things. Yeah, I could certainly see that.
And you're going to have so much fun with kindergarten, because kindergarten, I, of course, Gabriel, not as much, but with Grayson, there were so many different things they got to experience. And then some stuff, though, they don't allow any chaperones.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Yeah, so just anticipate that. Don't get upset about it, but it is a great way for them to a little bit, you know, to grow. They may have to be responsible for bringing their water bottle. And that would just stress me out. Yeah, it's a $10 water bottle, but I'm just like, okay, are they going to remember their water bottle? Please remember that water bottle.
Yeah.
But it does, you know, give them that kind of a, be a little of an adult moment.
Yes, yes.
All right. Oof. Work-life balance.
We touched on this a little
bit. I know I could do better with that.
Yeah, I certainly can as well. But I think it helps both of us that we work in a spot that
is flexible.
Is flexible, but also open to open to the family life.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to bring our kids to parades on the weekends, and, you know, people genuinely care and ask you about how your kids are around our workplace. So that
is true.
Helps in the situation. Honestly, like, when it comes to work, like, work-life balance, I, you know, expected that the life portion of that would be hard. And, you know, because work, you know what the expectations are. You know what your hours are. If there's more, you know, that has to be done, you're prepared for it. And, you know, you usually know ahead of time if there's more that needs to be done from a hours perspective. But the things that come with life that you don't even think about that have to be worked into a schedule sometimes is intense.
Living by that calendar daily.
And even just, like, oh my gosh, our sink is full of dishes again. Like, how did this happen?
We just cleaned. Yeah.
Yeah. Or how did it happen?
Right now, I keep running out of underwear. Like, I feel it for Gabriel. And like, I'm like, I know I just washed all the clothes. Yeah. Where is all this going?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I need to fold all of this.
Right, right, right. Or like little Nolan's walk around in his PJs, you know, and I look at the bottom of his feet and they're dirty. And I'm like, you weren't outside. Is our floor really that dirty? Like, I feel like I just washed it not that long ago. I just mopped. How are your bottom of your feet? So dirty already. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's mm-hmm. yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I will say too, one of the best parts about where we work is, as you mentioned, you know, we do kind of tie in a lot of our life mm-hmm. into it. But it has helped me personally grow within the workforce because I'm a mama first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helped me set my boundaries.
I agree with that.
You know, and it's also, I am making a living not for me, mm-hmm. but for my family. So I think that has helped tremendously. I was never as outspoken as I am to this day. Mm-hmm. And those of you who know me probably be like, yeah, right. No, it's true. I did not stand up for myself like I have in the past 10 mm-hmm. years. But I'm doing it because of the fact I'm a parent
yeah.
and I have to take care of my children.
Yep.
So I think that's mm-hmm. something that has helped tremendously.
Yes.
And helps most people, I believe.
And, you know, kind of along those lines, too, is one of the things that I found that I didn't always think about in life. But like, okay, how do you plan ahead? Whether it's I'm leaving the house and I know this is what the day looks like. Mm-hmm. And these are all the things that I'm going to need throughout the day that I have to have.
Yep.
I feel like I'm always like, I'm living in the moment, but planning ahead for mm-hmm. that type of thing. Or, okay, the weekend's coming up and we plan on doing this. You know, do I have everything done I need to get mm-hmm. done in order for whatever that is, to be successful? I found, you know, planning ahead
yeah.
is super, super important. Even if it's not a formal plan ahead, mm-hmm. but it's informally in your head, like, okay, do I have everything
I need?
To
do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, like sports, neither one of us can usually make it home before sports.
Correct.
So this morning, Grayson, do you have your football clothes, your jersey, your cleats, your flags, mm-hmm. your mouthpiece, your water bottle? Yes, Mama. And of course, you didn't have everything together.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, oh, wait, I need to grab some shorts, a T-shirt, mm-hmm. and tennis shoes for
right.
myself because I don't want to be in work clothes
right.
the whole time during football. So, you know, you are
yes.
thinking all of that.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. that's happening at 6 a.m. in the morning,
right.
you know, making
and,
sure you have
okay,
all that
what
to
are we
of.
When is dinner?
Yeah,
what's
what
for
are we
dinner?
Having for dinner?
How long is it going to take to make dinner
yes.
if we're making dinner? You know, all of those things are constantly running through your head.
Yes.
And
last night, though, I got to tell you, golly, did I screw up.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, all right, I don't feel like cooking. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to have a lazy night. So, yeah, I have a frozen lasagna. Let's put that in. Put it in. And I read it but didn't read it. So, you know, put it in. It says 110 minutes. I'm like, yeah, that's not a big deal. Like, mm-hmm. no big deal. In my head, I'm just like, yeah, it's an hour and 10 minutes.
Right. Nope.
About 7:30, you know, the boys are like, Mama, we're hungry. And I'm looking, I'm like, this cheese is still a little frozen. All right, chicken nuggets it is. And then Barrett and I ate the lasagna, I think at 8:30 at night. And, you know, it's just one of those moments. It's like, dang, I thought I was doing good for myself and not having to really cook anything. And totally
you, yeah.
missed that mm-hmm. one. So Barrett really hasn't let me live that one down yet.
Fair.
It's like, yeah, all right. But we ate a salad at, you know, 7:30 with the boys.
There you go.
But like you said, you got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So cereal is a big one in our house.
Yeah. Make sure you always have a backup option for dinner. Always.
Chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese. Always have
yep.
that just stored.
Mm-hmm.
At your house, no
yep.
matter what, it mm-hmm. comes in handy.
Yep.
Next one, kids' personalities. Mm-hmm. And I think we both can really hit on this because both of our kids are different and mm-hmm. similar in many ways, but are very similar to both of our,
uh-huh.
To us and our spouse.
Uh-huh.
Gabriel looks identical to me, and he's so me.
Mm-hmm.
Grayson looks identical to Barrett, and he is completely Barrett. Gabriel and I probably argue more than Grayson and I, and Grayson and Barrett argue more than Gabriel and him. So it is funny just to see those little personalities coming out. And I think that you're even seeing it in Nolan too.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Yeah. I mean, he's – Colton and Nolan are two totally different people.
You're like, how are y'all siblings? Yes. Y'all came from the same parents.
Right. I mean, even – they're starting to look more and more like every day. But, I mean, for a while there, I didn't even – You know, if I hadn't birthed both of them, I wouldn't have think that they were brothers from the way they looked.
They have some facial expressions that are very similar.
Yes. But my word, Nolan will make some facial expressions that are, they crack me up.
He's so Lewis.
He's so Lewis. Everything that comes across on his face. He does this one where if he eats something... And he looked at you, and he doesn't like it, and he'll look at you, and he's like, why did you just give me food, Wise? What did you just feed me? What am I eating right now? And it is so hysterical. Plus, he's wide open. Like, you've said this about Grayson. Just wide open.
Nonstop.
Climbs on everything.
Yep.
Not scared of a single thing. We were at Colton's birthday at the bounce house place, and Colton was scared to jump off the top thing into the foam pit below. If I would have let Nolan up there, he would have crawled right on up there and jumped right off and had no problems with it.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Was itching to get up there.
Yeah.
I will say, though, they both love attention.
Okay.
They are both attention-seeking. Colton has been practicing for graduation songs for pre-K graduation, and Nolan does all the dance moves right next to him, and it's the cutest little thing you've ever seen.
Have you
seen.
Recorded this?
No, I need to,
You
though.
Need to.
Oh, it's so darling.
Oh.
It's so darling. Yeah. And he's looking at his brother, looking at us, looking at his brother, looking at us, like, are you paying attention to me? Are you paying, am I doing it right? Are you paying
now,
attention
to me? Now, is Nolan
me?
Trying to get attention more from Colton or from everyone?
From everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But he certainly loves his... to play with his brother. I mean, he wants attention from his brother all the time.
Yeah, the older one. And
yeah.
Gabriel could care less about attention. Now, Grace, on the other hand, let's say you got a paper cut. Oh, my goodness, I have the biggest cut on my hand, and I'm going to die. It's just... Yeah. So, like, those are things where Grayson has to be. He did it five times bigger and better, and, you know, especially the two of them. God, they argue nonstop. But then they love each other, and then they argue again. So, yeah. But they're stages.
Yeah, I can see that, for
there
sure.
There were some stages, you know, they were the best of friends and got along amazing. And then there's the stages that they just, they honestly, they much rather just, you be on one side and I'll be on the other side. And, you know, but the personalities, they are so different. Gabriel is into the arts and music, and Grayson is all about sports. Gabriel loves to draw. Grayson does not. Like, you know, Gabriel could care less about his clothes. He could care less about if they match.
Grayson's rocking the gold chain.
Grayson from head to toe. Today, let me tell you. So he was like, Mama, because today was jersey day at school. So he wore his Carolina Panthers jersey, Carolina Panthers hat, his Carolina Panthers t-shirt underneath the jersey. He had to wear black shorts because, of course, that matched the jersey. He had to wear his Carolina pants or Carolina Panthers socks. And he was like, and Mama, I'm going to wear my baseball sunglasses because they're blue and black. And I'm wearing my blue and black watch because it matches.
Ooh.
And Gabriel on the other hand, he's like.
Did he have his gold chain on with his outfit too?
You know what? He wears it so much I don't even pay attention anymore. He probably did. No telling.
That's so darling.
He is just,
it's
he's
so
something,
cute.
You know, but I will give Grayson credit. He is his own personality. And I love to see him because he does, he shines in his own way. Gabriel, I worry about how of an introvert he is and how he doesn't care that much. He's such an old soul, you know, and I do worry about him not having many friends, and I worry about him maybe not being able to feel like he can talk to people. And but even though he's always saying, I'm fine, I'm good, you know, but he just doesn't, he doesn't have anything that just wow moments like how Grayson does. Because Grayson is just, there's no other way of putting it. You know, he is just one of a kind. And Gabriel has the sweetest soul, but he's just, he's just to himself a lot. And It's not a bad thing.
No.
But sometimes as the parent, you're just like, okay.
It just causes you more worry sometimes.
Yes, because mm-hmm. I'm like, are people being mean to you?
Right.
Like, why don't you have that many friends? Mm-hmm. Well, I just don't want to hang out with that many people. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go and draw or go and run mm-hmm. around in circles. Well, but why don't you want to hang out and do it? Mama, I'm fine. And then all he wants to hang out with Nana, mm-hmm. my mom. So, mm-hmm. you know, which is sweet, but sometimes I do want him just to have that.
Yeah. Be excited about going to a friend's house.
Yeah. And he just doesn't, he doesn't get invited to that kind of stuff. Grayson, mm-hmm. on the other hand, like, I swear he gets invited to, you know, play dates, sleepovers, birthdays, everything so much that it's to the point that we have to say no. Mm-hmm. And then Gabriel, on the other hand, not so much. Yeah. So those are things you worry about. And, and I know those are things that you'll get to experience mm-hmm. here. And, you know, I Barrett has to remind me all the time, don't compare them.
Yeah.
You know, they're two different people. Right. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, the personalities, though, it's just funny to see how, I'm like, oh my goodness, I created that.
Yeah. And I guess going in, I didn't have any expectations of their personalities were going to be like.
I just wanted my kids, all the expectations and hopes and prayers was my kids would be healthy and happy. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, that was my biggest expectations. I hoped and prayed that neither one of them had my terrible eyes. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Gabriel did get that. But, you know, he's doing a lot better. Uh-huh. And, you know, but like, you know, you take some of your personality traits and you're like, okay, I hope that they get this. And I hope they get that. Both of them luckily can dance. They take after Barrett because I can't dance. I don't know if yours do that or not.
I'm trying to think. I don't. You know, there hasn't been too much dancing involved in our situation yet. So now rhythm, I don't know yet. Lewis has all kinds of musical talent.
Yeah,
I have zero.
Yeah, me.
Same thing with rhythm. Like,
yeah,
I don't.
I can't clap on the beat.
I was telling Lewis the other day, like, you know, I'm so tone deaf. Like, I don't understand, like, keys. Like, the difference in, like, A and B and C and D. Like, none of that means anything to me. Not a thing.
Those are just letters.
Yeah, just, yeah. It Whatever. All sounds exactly the same.
Like, yeah.
I don't understand. So, hopefully, maybe from a music perspective, they pick up on Lewis's side.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't have that by any means.
Well, is there a number one thing that over everything when it comes to parenthood, that reality and expectation, is there something that is like, oh, wow?
Yes. I would say, and I know this is going to sound so corny, but how much your heart just gives into mm-hmm. being a mom and these two. And like, even the littlest things that they do on a regular basis just makes my heart melt. And mm-hmm. I just become the biggest softy and like, the way a touch or a hug can change your whole day. And I don't think that you can even imagine that until it happens.
Yes.
The expectation was great, but like the reality is so much greater of, you know, the love that you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that was like the sappy answer, but
no,
like,
it's very similar. I mean, I was honestly going to say, I never in my wildest dreams would have thought I would love another human mm-hmm. being more than myself 10 times over, you know, or even more than Barrett, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have that, your spouse, the relationship. Mm-hmm. But when you look at everything, you're just like, wow, we created these mm-hmm. two human beings. And knowing that I would do anything in the world for them. And I also know they are everything to me, and I am perfectly fine not seeing anyone on the weekend but just hanging out with my family. And I don't think I ever thought I could actually experience that because I was, you know, constantly on the go or whatever it may be. But it's just you love mm-hmm. so much. And like you said, those little hugs and mm-hmm. special moments, it just melts your heart.
Yeah.
So, you know, it never, you know, my mom always used to say, once you have kids, you'll see what I'm talking about. You're going to do whatever you can. Whatever, Mom.
Yeah.
It's true.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, oh, my goodness. And you're responsible for them. So you're going to do anything and everything you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So love.
Yeah. Oh, love the expectation love. Versus reality.
Yay.
That sounds like a good title for this podcast.
That is true.
Because a parent's love.
I feel as if it's been like kind of the monotone the whole time. It's been a kind of relaxing.
It's kind of nice, though.
Yes.
You know, to hear that.
Candlelight.
Exactly. This has been a chiller episode.
Well, my stomach's growling, so I'm so sorry.
I was going to say, we had some, like, construction going on outside. I don't know if you guys could hear it on the podcast, but I don't know what was happening out there. We'll get the details later.
Yeah. Doing some work to the place.
One segment that we are going to bring back today is Mama's Done. Shannon, what are we done with?
Mama's done with cooking all different types of dinners to please everyone.
Ah, okay. As in, like, in one meal or, like...
Yes, like, just give me a break. Mm-hmm. Just eat what's on your plate.
Yep.
Mama's done with trying to please you about every single food.
What about you?
This mama is done with... things being put on the stairs, be taken upstairs, and I'm the only one who takes things upstairs. The only one person that takes things upstairs. So last weekend, we instilled a rule.
Okay.
For the weekend, every time you went upstairs, you had to have something in your hand. Every single time.
Why is it so hard?
I have no idea.
I have left things on the stairs for like 2 weeks to see how long it will take.
Mm-hmm. I'm done.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It gets to the point I'm just like, it's just right. It's right there. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes will purposely put it so that people will trip over it. Do you know what they do? Mm-hmm. Push it to the side.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just take it upstairs.
Mm-hmm. You're going in that direction.
Just go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not hard.
Right.
It's just like putting the toilet paper on the toilet paper holder.
Yes.
When you're out of toilet paper, put the toilet paper on the holder. Like it just, it's easy. You're right there. Do it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what this mama's done with.
Love it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. I think everyone can relate to you on that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, this was a fun episode.
This was a fun episode.
I liked it.
So.
I got a little emotional, a little sappy.
You know, there were some topics of conversation that I think we visited here and there on different episodes, but put all in one.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
And we played the whole gamut of childhood so far. Like, we went from childbirth to... the current, so.
To being done.
Yeah, to being done, exactly.
So with that, I think it's a good time to wrap up.
I think it's a good time to be done. Agreed, yes. Agreed. Thank you all for joining us today. And, you know, please, if you haven't listened to any of our older podcasts, go back and listen. We have some great content, you know, some great features. We talk, like we said, we've talked about a lot of these subjects in other episodes. You know, they're all available on wherever you listen to your podcasts. And again, follow us on social media. We got some great summer content coming out, and we're excited to share with y'all. So
give us those likes.
Absolutely. I Speak Mama on Instagram and Facebook, so, and TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok.
All right, guys. All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
We don't just get away at the beach. We get together. Because no matter what floats your boat, we're floating right along with you. With over 2,000 restaurants, live music all day and night, and endless attractions, Myrtle Beach was made for having fun and beachin' easy. Welcome to 60 miles where you belong, the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.